Happy Friday. I'm Jevy Ebanks with your latest local news. Ricardo Taylor has been found guilty of wounding with intent, bringing an almost week-long trial to a close. The seven-member jury deliberated on Thursday and returned a unanimous verdict. Taylor was taken into custody and will return to the court for sentencing later this year following the completion of pre-sentencing reports. Mr. Taylor was convicted of stabbing a man during a domino game along the West Bay public beach last year. He had denied the charges and took the stand in his own defense, but jurors ultimately accepted the Crown's case led by Crown Prosecutor Shauna K. James. Ms. James told the jury that Taylor had been acting as a nuisance on the beach and refused to leave others alone, despite being repeatedly told to do so. Throughout the trial, the jury heard testimony from the complainant, multiple witnesses, and police officers. Mr. Taylor was represented by Keith Myers. In other local news, a review could be on the way for government's compulsory land acquisition framework. Radio Cayman's Carsley Fuller has more.
Leader of the Opposition, the Honourable Joey Hugh, tabled the motion in Parliament asking government to consider taking immediate steps to review and amend the legislative and regulatory framework governing compulsory land acquisition to, quote, ensure greater fairness, transparency and timeliness.
When government exercises its power to take private property for a public purpose, the citizen must be treated fairly.
Compulsory land acquisition is a legal mechanism that allows governments or public bodies to acquire private property without the owner's consent. Mr. Hugh wants compensation to be assessed based on the market value of the property at the date of the acquisition, a mandatory updated valuation if there's a big time gap between valuation and acquisition, clear statutory and regulatory timelines that govern the intervals between valuation, gazettal, and acquisition, and appropriate compensation adjustments, including interest, or indexed uplift if there are delays.
The motion is not about preventing roads from being built. It's not about preventing schools, parks, utilities, or public infrastructure from being developed. And it certainly, Mrs. Speaker, is not about taking away the lawful powers of the government. It is, though, Mrs. Speaker, about ensuring that when government exercises one of the most significant powers available to it, the power to compulsorily acquire private property, it does so in a manner that is fair, transparent, and respectful of the constitutional rights of our people.
Land and Infrastructure Minister, the Honorable Jay Ebanks, debated on behalf of government.
As much as I wanted to just disagree with every motion tonight, this one I really could not disagree with. I have to support this. It'll be very selfish of me not to support this, because I have argued the point from time I walked in that government building why we can't get these individuals paid.
The motion passed. Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Carsley Fuller.
The National Coalition for Caymanians Administration accepts a private member's motion to protect and prioritize Caymanian participation in the real estate sector. Tabled by Georgetown MP and Deputy Speaker of the House of Parliament, the Honourable Perlina McGaw-Lumsden.
The real estate sector plays a vital role in our economy. It creates employment, supports entrepreneurship, generates revenue, attracts investment, and facilitates the transfer of property throughout our islands. However, Mrs. Speaker, there is a growing concern among many Caymanians that opportunities within this sector has increasingly become inaccessible to them, while a greater share of the economic benefits associated with the sale and transfer of Caymanian real estate is flowing elsewhere.
The motion asks the government to consider restricting the right to work as a real estate agent or a broker to Caymanians, folks with Caymanian status with full rights to work, or those with a valid residency and employment rights certificate. Speaking on behalf of his administration, Premier, the Honourable Andre Ebanks, said Caymanians need a, quote, greater stake in the success that is coming in their country.
You have the commitment of this government that, yes, there'll be consultation. There might have to be some provisions of grandfathering. There'll be some regs to go back and forth. But be in no doubt, the framework has to change in this industry and others. Because let's face it, look at our pristine environment. This is not selling real estate in some murky jurisdiction where it's hard. The real estate almost sells itself. So how complicated is it? So let's just get on with it.
According to the published reports, the Cayman Islands Real Estate Brokers Association has called for a thorough review of the potential impact of the motion before any new legislation or regulation is passed. Police are investigating several overnight vehicle thefts in Windsor Park and Prospect involving Honda Civics and Honda CRVs. Officers believe the vehicles are being targeted and stripped for parts and used in other crimes. 4 vehicles remain outstanding and the public is urged to report any sightings. The RCIPS also reminds tourists to secure their vehicles and to consider additional theft prevention measures. Information of the missing vehicles can be found at rcips.ky. You're listening to Radio Cayman's Evening News. Local firefighters get a pay raise funded by a $1.2 million supplementary appropriation in Finance Committee. Radio Cayman's Dion Anglin reports.
Home Affairs Minister, the Honorable Nicholas DaCosta, told MPs in February the portfolio of the civil service did a re-evaluation of the job descriptions for firefighters, pump engineers, and sub-officers in the Cayman Islands Fire Service, which however revealed that members of the fire service have historically been paid less than other branches of the uniformed services.
So what this amount is actually going directly to is the salary uplift for the brave men and women of the Cayman Islands Fire Service, in particular those 3 ranks, the firefighters, 90, the pump engineers, 30, and the sub-officers, 26. A total of 146 out of 176 staff members, all Caymanian.
He says this finally brings, quote, equity across all uniformed services. The total budget for domestic and aerodrome fire services for this year is now $21.2 million. Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Dion Anglin.
Teen MPs vote down a proposed under-16 social media ban at the first ever summer edition of Youth Parliament.
Today, I stand firmly against the motion because banning social media for those under the age of 16 is not the answer.
And now I know what some of my friends on the government benches are probably thinking right now. What's wrong with this boy? He eat too much turtle meat or what? But Mr. Speaker, I can assure you the turtle meat was perfectly fine. It is this motion that gives me indigestion.
I agree that the government has a duty to act. I agree that platforms should not be allowed to profit from harm. I agree that children deserve protection in a digital world designed too often for engagement and not for well-being. But Mr. Speaker, agreeing on the problem does not require us to agree on every wolf solution wrapped in sheep's clothing.
Official MPs voted overwhelmingly in support of a social media ban for under-16s when they considered a private member's motion in March. The ban, if implemented by government, will limit access to large-scale algorithm-driven user-to-user platforms like TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat, X, Facebook, Threads, and similar services. Chair of the Standing Committee for Youth Parliament, the Honorable Kenneth Bryan, says Thursday's debate was historic as it gives lawmakers an opportunity to hear directly from young people about the proposal.
We are here to listen to the unique viewpoints of each and every one of the young people which this policy will affect. This is their opportunity as youth parliamentarians to directly influence real policy and potentially future legislation.
You can rewatch the full Youth Parliament debate on the CIG TV YouTube channel. The Cayman Islands Health Services Authority has released its holiday operating hours for Constitution Day, the 6th of July. Several key services will remain available, though most clinics will close for the public holiday. The urgent care clinic will operate from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., while accident and emergency at the Georgetown Hospital will remain open 24 hours. The Smith Road Medical Center Pharmacy will be open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and the Anthony Eden Hospital Pharmacy will operate from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Over in Cayman Brac, the Faith Hospital Pharmacy will open for 1 hour from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. All HSA District Health Centers and outpatient clinics in Grand Cayman and the Sister Islands will be closed on Monday and will resume normal business hours on Tuesday. For more information, visit hsa.ky. Finally, the Water Authority Cayman is advising motorists of planned roadworks at the intersection of Point Dexter Road and Shamrock Road this Sunday. The works will occur between 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. The authority will be carrying out work on equipment located in the intersection. During the one-hour window, the eastbound lane of Shamrock Road between Ocean Club and Point Dexter Road will be closed. Eastbound traffic will be diverted onto the east-west arterial, though local access will still be permitted for residents within the work zone. Traffic signs will be posted in the area and motorists are urged to drive cautiously to ensure the safety of both the road users and Water Authority staff. That's your latest local news. I'm Jevy Ebanks. Have a great weekend ahead.